Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy, and we're back for another competitive session. This time the main full cojones qualifying, and God, it was pretty rubbish, wasn't it? Actually, probably one of the worst qualifying sessions we've had in a while, mainly because, well, Q3 was an anticlimax, but we'll get on to that. But yeah, it just wasn't as good as the sprint. And I'm hoping it's not going to be that we look back at the sprint race and say that's better than the main race we're going to have tomorrow as well.
I hope not. Because the sprint was really good. It is weird that they've kind of flipped it round, because qualifying is always a banger, right? And the problem with this like sprint mini day, everyone was like, oh, why is qualifying on a Friday? Qualifying is a really good thing. And then just the way it's fallen today, it's kind of made me feel a bit flat after feeling really excited for the sprint. And it was a good race. And then we've gone into a qualifying, which is a bit of an anticlimax. Now I'm like, oh, it's a bit annoying. But at least we've
got a race tomorrow. We've got a race tomorrow. The grid is quite beautifully lined up for some battling for P2, so we'll look into that one. At Dullpit27 comes in with the first question, which is, opinions on the sprint format. We had an exciting race earlier, but a bit of a boring quali as the main event today. Feels like they're still missing a trick somewhere. I don't know whether we can have a go at the sprint format for this particular occasion, because it was the main qualifying, which we are slightly moaning about, and we're not going to change main qualifying because usually that's really good. I think it was mainly down to the track characteristics and the ways in which it was, well, usually ramping up, but then fell away at the end of Q3 and nobody was really improving. And that is the worst thing to end a qualifying session like that. I was saying on the Twitch watch-alongs that we're doing as well, that the only worse thing to end qualifying on is when you have a dry sort of 2-3 minutes at the start of Q3 and then it just pours down with rain and you don't get any more action. That's the only worse scenario than the one we probably had today. But I'm not going to slander the sprint format. Formula One has taken a step forward, I think, with the way in which they have changed the way we go around and the format. Of course, we have discussed in other podcasts around different tyre compounds and making it a bit more of an unknown, but we're going to save that for another day, at least I am, because I don't feel like the sprint deserves any slander after the amazingness that we had yesterday. But I will say, if you haven't seen it, we've done a podcast, we've done a video all about the sprint. So if you want to go and find that, there is a dedicated episode.
Yeah, the Kevin Magnussen Grand Prix has its own episode. For quali, yeah, I think that's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to say, like, oh, we need to change it again because this is kind of the problem. You can twist. I am still of the opinion, I haven't changed my opinion, that I think that I personally don't like it. It's a rare disagreement that we have, where I don't like having a qualifying session after a race in the same day. It doesn't compute in my brain. I still don't really like it. What I will say is that it's very easy to jump on what happens and then say, oh, we should change the whole thing. Because if you go back to the original format of the sprint, where it was qualifying, then it decided the grid for the sprint, then they did a sprint which decided a grid for the race, the big criticism for that was, oh, it resets the order. But if we'd done it today like that, you'd have had Ricciardo qualifying fourth, you'd have had Norris at the back, Alonso at the back, Stroll at the back, Hamilton at the back, and it would have been amazing. But next week, or next sprint, it might not be like that. So you can't really judge a whole format based on just how it goes. Sometimes qualifying rarely is rubbish, but today, sadly, it was a bit rubbish.
And the main race is looking at qualifying going, I might actually be better than this.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Right, let's get into Q1 first and foremost with Bottas, Sargeant, Ricciardo, Magnussen and Zhou, the five that got knocked out. Of course, we had, K-Mag, obviously disappointing that we won't see any antics down in 19th position from him tomorrow. I feel like unless he goes on hard tyres and stays out forever, in which case we might see some antics, but not a good qualifying performance at all from K-Mag, considering his teammate made it into Q3, but that is just a running trend, I think.
And
you have Kevin, I don't like playing these tactics, but I have to for the team. Well, it's because Hülkenberg's beating you, unfortunately. Otherwise, Hulk would have to play these tactics if he was the one behind K-Mag. So, disappointing for him. But the big one, Daniel Ricciardo. He was on the wrong end of a very close Q1. And we were talking about this on Twitch as well during our watch along, Matt P1 Tommy, if you haven't followed us or joined us for our watch along, where it was so close. And I just don't get it. I don't understand how Q1 is so close all the time, because the field is not separated, or the top 15 is not separated by 6/10. It doesn't feel like that anyway. And yet Q1 is always so, so close, especially around some tracks that you maybe don't expect it. And this was one of them. And Ricciardo, it's not like he was miles off, but he just marginally missed out. And he starts 18th after qualifying fourth and finishing in fourth in the sprint earlier today.
Yeah, I apologise, because if you go watch the sprint and go back our podcast and say what we mentioned, we had this whole debate over... Oh, you're only as good as your last moment in Formula One, and something Charles Leclerc said. And I made the joke that if Danny Ric ends up making a mistake and getting knocked out in Q1, everyone kind of washed again. And here we are. Exactly what happened.
I saw an onboard of him, and he did make a couple of errors that lap. So that was the difference with how close it was in Q1. Without those, he's probably popping it in fifth, and we're lauding his performance again.
But Miami... However, I still don't like it. I kind of feel wrong to even defend it because I dislike it so much. But in qualifying, it does actually punish mistakes, and you see a lot more of them. It's almost like a wet session, because if you go slightly off the track, off that line, it's so dusty. I mean, I can't believe we had a 19-lap race there earlier. It looks like it's never been driven on, based on how we went into qualifying. It's so dusty offline, but it does mean that slight errors get punished, and that's what we've seen throughout the whole weekend so far, really.
Yeah, and throw in some wins as well, and of course that's probably blowing a lot of the dirt onto the track, and as you say, it did feel like it was a properly green track when they went back out there, and it was causing errors, and I like to see that. I like to see drivers wrestling the car and making mistakes, because that's what makes Formula One interesting. Other things to mention from Q1, Zhou just very quietly qualifying in last place.
Again. How many times has that happened this year, it seems?
It's not good enough, really, from him, especially if he wants to stay on the grid for next year, but it's not looking very likely. And then, of course, Logan Sargeant, the king of the final sector, but still getting knocked out in Q1, had a purple in the last sector, I think, in this session as well. And bless him, he did have the team radio, and he's like, oh, please tell me I'm through. And they said, oh, no, you're 16th. Obviously, he dropped to 17th in the end. He did miss out by a marginal amount. But once again, was out-qualified by Alex Albon, who this time managed to get a validated lap in Q1 and managed to out-qualify his teammate.
Yeah, Logan needed a strong result, because I think his sprint was very, very good. And it wasn't bad. He's not far behind his teammate. Actually, he's directly behind Fernando Alonso on the grid, which he'd have taken all day long normally. But it's not a great qualifying performance. But... It sounds really bad, but it's not last, which is obviously what he has done on quite a few occasions. So he's not a million miles off his teammates. So it's not like it's an absolute woeful performance. I don't think the Williams is there. You know, we're not seeing Albon getting into Q3 like we did last year in some crazy situations, or qualifying 11th or 12th. Williams just don't seem to have that car now. Until Monza, maybe, we'll see.
Well, yeah, they're very quick in a straight line all of a sudden. I wonder if they've changed a potential thing on the car.
Yeah, because Sargent went purple, and I think that was the lap that he thought he'd been blocked by Yuki as well, that he was that quick on what is essentially a straight, a very heavy braking zone corner, and a straight again. Like a flat-out kink. And he went purple, so... Williams.
So if we just had a 25-second lap around Miami, which was just the final sector, Logan Sargeant could be in with a shout of winning this race tomorrow. But alas, it does make you wonder. And finally, there's a question, which is about Daniel Ricciardo from Cornish Leeds 1. Danny Rick, was the sprint a flash in the pan? What happened? The mistakes lost him a couple of tenths. I still think he could score points tomorrow. I genuinely don't want to write that off. Yuki Tsunoda showed that there is genuine pace in that RB. I'm not going to criticise him too much. And I genuinely believe, even if he didn't turn up for the race tomorrow, his performance and contribution in this Miami Grand Prix weekend is worth him not being called washed. And even if he finishes 20th tomorrow, he scored a handful of points for RB in a miraculous sprint race. But that being said, I think that he still could produce something tomorrow, but it's going to be difficult. It's hard to overtake. He's going to have to do a different strategy, I think, to really get himself in the mix. But yeah, it's I wouldn't like to say the sprint is a flash in the pan, because China, he was showing some promise as well. I'm hopeful for Danny Rick that it's not just a one-off.
What I would say is, why does it feel like V-Carb and even before this, when they were AlphaTauri, that when one driver does well, the other has to be awful? It seems like it happens on quite more occasion than any other team, where one of them is getting absolutely, slandered for being washed, and the other one's being really good, and then it can flip around. And they never both seem to be able to do like a really good performance. It's always like one of them gets into Q3 and another one's out.
They're the only teammate session. Partnership where you genuinely can say, oh my God, they've driven terribly. You know how you have Sainz and Leclerc and someone's doing terrible and someone's doing amazing and they're separated by 0.2?
Yeah.
Tsunoda and Ricciardo are like 10 places different or whatever it might be, and they do deserve that sort of spotlight.
And it makes you wonder how good the car actually is sometimes, if it is just all over the place. Or if that, like, what is that performance of the car? Because, you know, you see, and we'll get onto this, like Gasly and Ocon are always quite close together in terms of like the lap time and stuff. Not all the time, but
no, I would say they are the probably the closest teammate partnership.
Which makes you sort of feel like they're getting the maximum out of that car, and you go, oh, that's how good the Alpine is. Whereas, yeah, when it's with the V-carb and you're fourth, then you're 18th, then the other teammate is out in the first session, then they're making it through to Q3. Like, what? How good is that car? You don't know.
No, we don't.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode is sponsored by Tennis Channel Plus. Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May the 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, the French Open promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens. Let's go to Q2 now. And the five drivers out were Stroll, Gasly, Ocon, Albon and Alonso. And the question is, of course, surrounding Fernando Alonso, Tom Bellingham, who has not looked, and I can't remember the last time we've genuinely said, Fernando's had a terrible weekend so far. But I would have to mark this down as probably one of his weakest performances in a very long time. 15th on the grid, outqualified by Stroll in both qualifying sessions this weekend. Had a mistake as well in the sprint. It's been a poor weekend. Maybe it's just Miami. It's a track that, of course, he doesn't know from his previous racing experience and career. Maybe it's just something that doesn't suit him.
Didn't he get a podium last year, though?
Okay, yeah, ignore that comment, but maybe he doesn't like it this year in this extra mile.
Well, it's true. Like, it's clear that he's not vibing with the car, and he's just not having a good weekend at all. Aston Martin bring these upgrades. We know that they bring upgrades sometimes, and it seems to make the car a little bit worse. Or Alonso's so good at driving around a problem that it wouldn't surprise me if they fix a certain problem and he's somehow slower, because it seems to be so good at getting the best.
This is too predictable.
Yeah. Seems to be so good at getting the best out of a worst car. It's almost like when Stroll is there, they're very close. And Stroll does sometimes out-qualify him a bit better. But then when Alonso is, ahead, it's always by like an absolutely enormous margin. So Alonso just not getting on with that car this weekend. And yeah, I have to admit, as much as it hurts me, he's having a terrible weekend so far.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of drivers have been struggling out there. Let's not beat around the bush. It's not just an Alonso thing or a Daniel Ricciardo thing. It's been up and down the grid, but you just saw the onboards of Alonso at the end of Q2, and he was wrestling the car absolutely everywhere. A question from James_Hewish. Why did the Astons not put on fresh tyres? They had no pace whatsoever, ever. I love another ever. Just to clarify, they had no pace ever. I imagine it's down to tyre allocation. I'm sure that they're trying to make sure that they have at least something to use in tomorrow's race. They're very aware as well that they're struggling for pace. So why would you waste any more than you need to? So I think for Aston Martin, they decided right at the end, because it was the end of Q2 that they, was it mediums they tried or something? I can't remember exactly, but they at least didn't try. Oh no, that's Mercedes.
They went on used softs,
didn't
they?
There was used softs that they tried on. But that's what pretty much every team did at some point. Like Max Verstappen was out on used softs at some point, and it was something that they've tried, and clearly they want to at least save something for tomorrow.
Based on how the sprint went, it could well be a bit of a DRS train throughout the field, so why not save tyres for the race to do something and have an advantage in the race? Because at the end of the day, it's a very long race, and while qualifying matters a lot, in Formula One, you can get through the field. It's not a circuit that's impossible to overtake at, even though it will be difficult. And they can do something in a very long race you want to maximise your race, because that's where the points are given out, which is a proper commentator's thing to say, but it's true.
Certainly is. Other things to mention, Gasly and Ocon, obviously very close. Gasly beating out Ocon, which was a surprise, I think, with Ocon looking quite strong this weekend. But Gasly fighting back in that teammate rivalry. Albon, yeah, that was about as much as he could get out of the car. Actually went slower in Q2 than he did in Q1. So maybe left a little bit on the table there. And I think he had that mistake, didn't he, as well, where he had to reverse in the last sector. And then, of course, we've mentioned Stroll out-qualifying Alonso, but I thought I'd mention that one more time because that's the only pain Tommy ever gets when talking about Formula One. Q3! And usually, we're like, wow, what a banger. But what an anticlimax. The order was Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, Perez, Norris, Piastri, Russell, Hamilton, Hülkenberg, Tsunoda. I mean, you look at the times and you go, oh, it's actually quite close, you know, a tenth and a half between Verstappen and Leclerc. And, oh, you know, maybe there's a chance. And the question, Flesser, what was that final run? Few tenths below the first run for almost everyone. Yeah, as we mentioned at the top of the show, not the way you want to end qualifying, leaves a bit of a sour taste in your mouth. What I will say, and something I noticed, was, of course, Lando Norris's decision to go on the mediums at the beginning of Q3 and then going on to the softs. He got within, what, 3.5 tenths of a second on his final run, where everybody else lost 2, 3. I mean, Charles Leclerc and Sainz, I think, both went over half a second slower than their first Q3 run. You do wonder if, once again, it's not worked out for McLaren, where they've tried something different, fair enough. But with the benefit of hindsight, I think Norris could even threaten the front row. So, you know, you look at that and you go, Lando, not a bad performance, but he's only a couple of tenths away from challenging Charles.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it'd be interesting in the race to see what they can do, because Lando has been very impressive in race trim. And yeah, it's a gamble that they tried. I've never seen it that close between the mediums and the softs. It's very, very bizarre situation. That
not for a while.
Not for a while. It seems like a very long time since we've had that, where, yeah, the fact that people are trying it and thinking it's worth the risk just shows how unknown it is. That you could argue also, you know, as part of a sprint weekend, that you don't get as much practice time, the teams don't have as much data. So in that sense, I'm here for it, because it's better when they don't know everything. But unfortunately, yeah, I think it has cost McLaren and Lando in that sense, because the track conditions were best in that first run. But what a bizarre thing. It's so rare. You only normally see that when it rains or something. It's very, very rare.
Yes, the drop-off was rare. And I think as well, that whole medium decision, of course, Mercedes tried it as well at the end. I think the last time we've seen that was when we had such soft compounds with the Pirelli tire range that the softs would essentially run out, similar to what we're seeing here, right?
Yeah, you could do a full lap.
Struggling to do a full lap. So that's when we saw quite a few years ago now, I would say, where it was those aggressively soft compounds where they would go for a medium tire because it would just last the whole lap. And that's kind of what we saw with some of the drivers here today. But I quite like that. I like that it was a little bit of an unknown, but it's a shame that the mediums couldn't get really anywhere close in the end, which was a bit strange. I mean, of course, track conditions change between days, and Lando did a 27.5, I think, yesterday on the mediums. So, but then I think Lando did actually say in his post-quali interview that he lost a bit of confidence in the car, and he's made some setup changes, which he now wishes he could go back on, but he can't, because Parc Fermé is in full force, unfortunately, McLaren fans. Next question. Oh, I've actually done it. The Fiaz asks, can someone explain the medium tyre logic? And that's pretty much what we've done. So the soft tyres couldn't last for some of the drivers, or they couldn't get them in the right operating window. I think Alex Albon even said, my tyres are lasting 6 corners and then they are overheating. Jeez. So I'm crazy. Surprised he didn't maybe try a medium tyre. But that's the reason why some of the drivers tried that instead. And then maybe, you know, if we see more aggressive choices from Pirelli later on, and we have 52 degree track temperatures like we've had this weekend, then it might happen again.
Did I don't know? I saw that Hamilton's best time was on the medium.
Yes.
Yeah. So him and Russell were extremely close, where Russell was on the softs and Hamilton on the mediums.
So Russell did that time on the softs, but he also did a medium time. Pretty much identically.
Yeah, it wasn't quicker.
But like a few thousandths slower than his time. So I think he would have, had they both had no lap times, Russell still would have pipped him, but it was
It's crazy, though, to see that, where, like, you see two teammates that close and they're on completely different compound tyres. It's very, very rare to see in Formula One. I'm hoping... You can only just hope that this also makes the race exciting, that some people try something different, think, oh, you know, in the race, why not? Because in the sprint we saw, I think it was Yuki and Logan were on the soft tyres and they got through the field, obviously thanks to a bit of carnage, but made the tyres last. They got through the field and they both picked up a very good result from starting way down the back. So... yeah, it could be interesting to see. I just know now I've said this, they're all going to start on the same tyre, but please no. Please, Formula One, be interesting.
I would like to think not. I'm hopeful that they will change something up. Verstappen on the mediums, maybe Leclerc and Sainz both go on the softs, get involved, get stuck in, little dive bomb into turn one. I'm dreaming, but you might well see that. I think there is definitely a chance. So fingers crossed. And Tommy, that... pretty much concludes our qualifying roundup. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are I can't believe we got 24 minutes out of that session because it wasn't,
yeah,
it
me
wasn't,
neither.
Wasn't a great one. But no, I do really hope that I think what this race needs tomorrow is a nice bit of strategy and intrigue. So fingers crossed for that one. Because it's going to be
and my biggest flop is basically relying on something because Max has done and won everything up until this point. So let's see.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting it for a slight mistake in SQ3 that still got
you did lock up in FP1. Did lock up in True. FP1, I'm just saying. But let's see what the race has in store tomorrow. We'll be live on Twitch, Matt P1 Tommy. Come and join us if you want to be with two goofy Formula One fans. And we'll be screaming all the way through, I'm sure. And that's it. See you soon. See you tomorrow. Lots of love. Bye.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.